Legacy Producers, episode 270, Lincoln.
Hey, this is Tony.
And this is Daryl.
This is Tony.
And this is David.
We are the Backseat Producers. Anything going on?
Yeah, Lincoln sucks.
Spoiler.
Yeah.
All right, next
week. I've never been to Nebraska.
Let me save
but
you.
But I heard it's not that great.
Let me save you 2.5 long boobless hours.
Wait. Next week we're doing Silver Linings Playbook. Just getting that out.
Jennifer Lawrence, yoga pants, like half the movie.
You're going to have an essay on that, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm going to give it the ninja eye.
And when she's not on screen, Bob De Niro is
in yoga pants.
Yeah, exactly.
Basically, yeah. Those yoga pants got a lot of work.
Yeah.
Those yoga pants were the star of the show.
They were, man. Hardest working person in Hollywood.
That's true.
All right, so I think we have your eye level review. since you just blurted that out.
Listen, here's the thing. I got a lot of places to go with this, so
what's that's
your,
fine.
What's
that's
your high fine. Deuce, what do you think? You know what? I always ask Daryl, what was your high level review?
It's a wonderful movie. You'll enjoy it, even though it's rather historical. It's fun to watch.
I enjoyed it because I am fascinated by the period and Lincoln. And the law. And the whole thing was about the law for 2.5 hours.
So if, absolutely law, correct.
Right. And so if you're interested in all those things, it's phenomenal. If you're not interested in those things, if you want to go see like a Civil War, like you want to see Django Unchained and you chose Lincoln instead, I'm sorry. It's not going to be that, you know, more intellectual. And it's almost like a play.
Mm-hmm. So this was the second worst Abraham Lincoln movie I saw this year.
What was the first?
Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
Okay.
That movie was the worst.
Oh, I think being overly harsh, I mean, for what it was.
That movie was bad.
No, it was just weird.
It wasn't, it's not, well, I read the book,
mm-hmm.
and the book was fine, but the movie, like, awkwardly shoehorned in a black dude.
Yep.
And then a free the slaves plot that wasn't there and was unnecessary, but you could obviously tell they felt like they had to put it in because it was an Abraham Lincoln movie, and if they didn't have a free the slaves plot, like, it would be called racist.
Oh, it's not already.
Really weird.
So
really weird.
So I want to give my high-level review.
Oh, yeah, you get to do that, don't you?
I do. Two things. One, this movie should not have been called Lincoln. It should have been called The 13th Amendment.
I agree.
It was I agree. Not about Lincoln.
It should have been called Voting.
Number two, I would have rather watched a 12-hour, over four-night, 3 hours each night miniseries about the history of the 13th Amendment than watch this movie.
I would have rather watched.
Because that would have been more. That would have been more interesting, and it would have had things that made sense happen in it.
How did things that not make sense happen in this?
There was a scene about 30 minutes into the movie where he is talking to his advisors.
Cabinet members.
And explaining to them in detail why he's made every move he's made for the last, like, 3 years about the 13th Amendment, about the Civil War, all this stuff. And I'm sitting there watching this going, shouldn't these people know this already? Well, like, and it's not even.
I would say not necessarily because of the makeup of his cabinet. The makeup of his cabinet was particularly divided from the beginning.
Why did he have that cabinet?
It's in a book which the film is based, well, loosely based on, called Team of Rivals.
But
which
that was not in the movie.
Lincoln has famously said when he picked his cabinet, they said they are going to eat you alive, and he said they. Maybe, but they might just as well eat each other alive first. And the reason he selected them, he selected a team of people who didn't see eye to eye on the issues because the day he was elected, the Civil War began, in essence, because once he got elected, they knew the South Carolina was going to secede, and so it was a foregone conclusion. And so he had to assemble a cabinet that he thought he could deal with that.
And these may have been the best people at the time, or the only people at the
time. Even if they didn't see eye to eye with him. So,
but there was no indication of why he was telling them that. And
well, that's not so much.
They had already introduced two or three other characters that he could have given that same explanation to. When his son came back into town, he could have been like, "Dad, what's going on? Why are you doing this?"
And that was flood flowed for me.
I think that checked me out, because at that point I'm like, I don't understand what's going on.
No, because
you are just expositoring all over me right here.
I don't think so. Yeah. I think the big contention, like the majority of the conflict in the movie, stemmed from the fact that nobody wanted to make the vote now because they just wanted to accept the peace
first
of the South, and then they could deal with it later because it's Congress. And so he was explaining to his cabinet why it had to be done right now.
Like, this was going to bring a whole lot more explanation than that, though.
But he was cloaked in immense power.
That was ridiculous.
Well, it was like he stopped so much he explained it for the cabinet's sake, he explained for the audience sake, because this is something that's probably not well understood.
Let me ask you this question, Tony.
And that's the problem with it. It was so ridiculously obvious that he was just explaining it to
the audience. Because of the level of sophistication of the points being made, I don't know if that's necessarily the case. Is there a way that you could infer that information by showing rather than telling? Because I'm telling you what, that was
a
complex or discussion of the power of the executive branch that
which was not well defined at that time.
Exactly. And in an 80-year span, no president had that amount of power up until that time.
And I appreciate that. What I'm saying is they introduced a character who came in from the outside, who was introduced to us as coming in as an outsider in his adult son. That he could have.
It makes no sense that he'd have that conversation.
Yeah, I think I think it blunts the point too. I think it blunts the point because the point of the scene is that the government itself doesn't understand what the scope of its powers is. Like, you also have to take into consideration the audience that would see this movie also probably believes that the Civil War was fought about slaves.
That's another thing,
which is not true.
Well, it's partially true.
That may have been the catalyst, but it was about states' rights versus federal power.
That may have been true at the beginning.
Yeah, sure. I would agree that, what I said because at the end, but it's
because that's
exactly
one of
the
things he was talking about when the the man and the woman came in wanting their toll booth back, that Stanton is sitting there quizzing them, you know, trying to probe them as to how they feel about the whole slavery issue. And they kept saying if you say it's about that, it's about that. We don't disagree with you. And he was trying to probe them as to what their real feelings was.
Right.
He felt that they were just saying that because that's what he wanted to hear. No, that's what they really believe. They trust Lincoln so much that he tells them that the war was about slavery, they're going to accept it.
That's not what I got out of that. I thought they were just blowing smoke up his ass to get their way. That's what I got out of that conversation.
That's why Stanton, we kept probing on them.
And that's what they said. I mean, that's...
Who the hell is Stanton?
Stanton. He was Lincoln's aide-de-camp.
What's the actor's name? Good night, good luck. Can't remember his name.
No, that was...
David Strathairn.
David Strathairn.
First off, let's be clear. That was Bishop from Sneakers, all right? let's all deal with that reality and soak it up for a little bit, okay? God damn, this movie had a lot of people in it.
Yes, it did. And if you look in the corners, it's a lot of cameos in there, too.
Okay, so with that scene out
of the
way...
But dude's name is Willard Seward.
I mean, I basically disagree. I don't see...
William Stewart?
I wouldn't have blown the whole movie off because of that scene. Even if I thought, oh, wow, this is heavy exposition, I wouldn't have been like, oh, this movie is crap, because I saw that scene.
I mean, no, that wasn't the scene that did it for me.
That just started it for me.
Okay.
After that, my biggest problem with it was that it was boring.
Yeah,
I didn't think it was boring either.
This is what I wanted from the movie. I wanted so bad for James Spader and Tommy Lee Jones' wig to go on a buddy cop adventure through, like, 1800s America, embezzling, cheating, and bribing votes out of delegates. I would have watched
just like
all
they do now.
Of the votes. All, like, 200 votes that they would have gotten if it was just those two.
Well, I think that's one of the things that makes this movie interesting is we see, you know, the real politics of that era. I mean, it was not unusual for them to hand out bribes and patronage positions to get people to do what they wanted.
Well, still happens, though.
Well, I know, but the thing is, it's like
it's people. It's not put that way.
It's not put that way. We all have a rather naive picture of how politics works.
No, I don't. I'm really pessimistic.
You have it because you're a tad more educated than the average public.
I don't think that's true.
Most people have a rather naive idea of how laws get made. And there's the old story, if you love the law, don't watch it being made. Because it's a pretty ugly business because there's a lot of horse trading going on. And we're seeing the horse trading of the 1860s era.
They say the same thing about salad bars. If you like salad, don't watch it being made.
Right.
Watch
it being
made. I worked on a salad bar for a while.
It's true, isn't it?
It's terrible.
And sausage also.
But not Sausage Fest. It's beautiful.
It's a beautiful thing watching it made.
Yes. A lot more nipples at Sausage Fest than you would think.
But they're not in the sausage.
Some of them are. Sometimes the sausage is in the nipples. I don't know what that means.
Between the nipples?
So there are a lot of things about this movie that I really liked.
Okay.
James Spader's number
James
one.
James Spader was great.
Number two, at the end when Tommy Lee Jones takes off his wig and he looks like Walter White in like 10 to 15 years.
So that part is the part you liked about Tommy Lee Jones' role.
All right, so we're about at the end of the list. And, well, I mean, Daniel Day-Lewis was fantastic. It was a 2.5-hour movie where Daniel Day-Lewis proved that he could be Lincoln.
Not bad.
Yeah.
I mean,
he could be a convincing Lincoln.
He's very talented.
Everything I've read about Lincoln, like what they believed he sounded like, what, you know, his tendencies, behavioral stuff, all of it was there. So he did his homework.
Weird non sequitur stories.
Yeah.
I like the non sequitur stories. The man liked telling stories.
That was the most interesting thing about the character.
And it's also, think of Sally Field. I mean, this is probably the most accurate depiction of Mary Todd Lincoln that we're ever going to probably see. I know, but the thing is, as the First Lady, hardly anything is known about her other than her time after Lincoln's death, that she was, you know, bouncing off the walls with depression and insanity.
And she was, and see, that was insane before he died.
There was a line in the movie, like toward the end, where she says, you know, you're going to be remembered, I'm paraphrasing, but she's like, you're going to be remembered as a great man, I'm just going to be remembered as crazy.
Accurate.
It was accurate, but it almost felt like an apology to the memory of Mary Todd Lincoln. Like maybe you weren't crazy, and we're gonna tell people that that's what we've always said about you. But see, we're gonna portray you as not being completely crazy to try to make people think that you weren't. And that's kind of, I don't know, that's just how it
but
came
I don't
off.
Think
the
she...
way that line. Because it just seemed shoehorned. That was conversation was weird. Plus, it happened after.
Most conversations with her were weird and non. Like, there was no point.
There was a point. The point was that Lincoln was a family man who had family problems. I mean, we tend to put Lincoln up on this huge pedestal and think of him as a myth, but we don't really keep in mind that he was a man with all the typical failings. And he was
like, you scare our kids with him? Like, if you don't go to sleep, Lincoln's going to get you.
I believe in God, and I believe in Abraham Lincoln.
I worship the sun and Abraham Lincoln.
Well, look, Lincoln, Mary Todd. A lot of people believe Lincoln never really loved Mary Todd. It was a political marriage. A lot of people believe that, you know, after all the hardship they'd gone through, there was a question of whether or not there was anything there to salvage, which in the line that they really do say on the way to the theater, where she says, we haven't had enough joy.
We've forgotten how to have any joy.
Right, and so they just decide they're going to be happier. That actually was said. I mean, they actually said that before they went to the theater and he was killed. So, I mean, that wasn't, you know, a scripted line. That's something that they pulled out of history. Whether the other stuff they pulled out of history, probably not, I don't know, but I remember that line as something that they said.
And for me, that whole sequence, at, you know, going to the theater, the announcement that he's been shot, him on his deathbed, that felt like an epilogue.
It did.
Like, it wasn't, for the story that they were telling, which was not about Lincoln,
yeah,
they didn't need that.
Which is why I don't think they needed her at all. Like,
yeah.
The story was not about him.
Well, I think she was important to his character. I think she was. I don't know if we needed that whole sequence, but I guess it's the way the movie was built. It was kind of like, well,
it's
do you have
a
movie
Steven
about Lincoln
Spielberg
where
but
he doesn't get killed
but
right after he,
Lincoln.
You know,
I mean,
sews it all up?
See, that's just it. It's not about Lincoln. And that's
the Spielbergness of the movie was terrible. First 5 seconds, American flag run through battlefield. Come on, Lincoln. Come on, Spielberg. You're not going to get me with shit like that. Stop trying. Come on.
They had American flags, dude.
Yeah, I know.
On the battlefield.
I get it. I get it. But
flags are flown a lot. Were flown a lot more in those days than they are now.
I don't
know. You know, now there are no flags. It's like we don't.
Here's
they
the
don't even know we're there.
Here's the thing with the flags.
You know what?
You gotta take that.
I didn't need that. I didn't need the recitation of the Emancipation Proclamation in the beginning. I didn't need any of that.
Well, maybe not, but I don't think any of that.
I don't
fault
think
of the movie.
I don't think it added anything
to the movie. I think it's a reflection
movie,
of your sophistication as a viewer. I don't think it means... Maybe the movie is made below you.
You know what I appreciated?
It's
I think
still
the
a good movie.
Talking down to me, though. And that's the way I felt.
You know, I don't think the average person has your understanding. I agree with Daryl. I don't think the average person goes into the Lincoln thinking, oh, it's Emancipation Proclamation. I've heard this a million times. I mean, nobody thinks like that.
It's not a matter of hearing it a million times. It's a matter of... having it pushed on you to remind you of the point of what the movie's about.
I don't know.
Who as an adult is going to go see a movie about Lincoln and not be aware that he was a president during the Civil War and it's that slavery is involved?
Yeah, but do people know that the Emancipation Proclamation was as it was? I mean, do people know that, you know, it freed people basically in the District of Columbia and then all of the southern states, but none of the...
When he goes through the long the description of why he's trying to get the 14th and 13th
right.
Amendment passed
right.
is because of the flaws within the Emancipation Proclamation.
Right. So, I mean, is it like...
Yeah, I was fine with all that. I mean, that didn't bother me.
I mean, I just don't think the average person... I think the average person thinks Lincoln declared the Emancipation Proclamation and all the slaves were freed and then we fought a war and the Union won. I think
what they miss is the sense of urgency that's why he's trying to get this done. Because if it doesn't get done before the war ends, everything they've worked for was going to be essentially nullified.
Right, and that was interesting and that was what the movie was about. The movie wasn't about him standing in front of those soldiers having them recite it to him. That's
That was a framing device.
If they
hadn't
had it in there, you'd been like, why didn't they have this in here at least anywhere?
That was to frame the whole film, though. I mean, that's a little different.
That's a little throwback to Glory.
I also like how he completely snubs those two black dudes he's talking to at the beginning of the movie.
But I didn't see a problem with... I just think the things that you're... I mean, I understand if you thought it was boring. You think it's boring. It's boring. But I think the things that you're picking at
are
not...
those are Spielbergisms. Those are things where he's trying to force an emotion on you.
Yeah, and that's a typical...
And that's what he was doing. He was trying to force an emotional connection.
That's what Spielberg likes to do. He likes to tug at your heartstrings.
No. He likes to try and manipulate me, and I don't appreciate it.
Well, here's
but
the thing,
that's
though.
That's the filmmaker.
Here's
that's
the thing,
the idea that they all try to do.
Yeah, he does a lot of that.
That's why they're a director.
But I think that's true.
I don't know that early in the movie, a framing device like that, it just kind of sets you up for the movie. So you know. You're like, okay, this is the tone of the movie. I mean, I don't feel like it, like, you know, betrays me or manipulates me in, like, the first 5 minutes. I mean, that just doesn't make any sense.
This great Ender's Game.
I'll tell you a good Spielbergism that isn't. Here's a good Spielbergism. Schindler's List has a certain tone the entire movie, mm-hmm. which I love Schindler's List. And then, for some reason, Oscar Schindler goes into a big speech and carries on outside of his car about how this could have saved 10 people, this could have saved 15 people. Well, yes. And I thought that was a powerful moment. Mm-hmm. But that's a Spielbergism because the tone has changed to reflect something he feels he needs to, like, shove in there.
So like
I don't think in Lincoln that happens really.
The girl in the red coat.
I really didn't have a hard time with that either, though. That was a stylistic choice.
It's the same thing he does, though.
Yeah.
He forces an emotion on you.
But that's what all movies do.
I don't think that's subtle about movies, though.
First off, there's a difference between manipulation and relating. Like, if you put me in a situation, you frame it properly, I can relate to it. But don't try and manipulate me into feeling some way.
I could argue Scorsese is the ultimate manipulator of emotions because he does the non sequitur things and challenges you to go, why the did that guy do that? It's completely inconsistent with his whole character. And you might say, well, you know, that just challenges me as a viewer. he's not manipulating me. He's basically, it's you know, he's going for something different. But that's still a manipulation. It's just a manipulation in the other direction. He's trying to make me feel uncomfortable, where Spielberg's trying to make me feel fuzzy. I mean, it doesn't make a difference, though. They're both a manipulation.
Like fuzzy.
But the thing is this was not a war movie.
Yes.
This is a political movie.
And so why did we open it in a battle?
Because there's Lincoln really did go to the battlefields.
It's just fine.
Often. I mean, these are all things.
Gettysburg, Deuce.
These are all things that I think are important to the character of Lincoln. Like, I think those things matter in the telling of the film, because he's not some guy on a perch up in Washington.
That's just it. He was a guy on a perch at the battlefield, and it was ridiculous.
But my point...
It was the Lincoln Memorial!
Well, yeah, because he's sitting there like that.
Yes! Come on! You can't say that that wasn't manipulative.
But is that how he sat, and is that why the Lincoln Memorial is that way? I mean, you can ask the opposite question. I mean, it's...
I'm never going to ask that question.
You're never?
No, but you know what I did appreciate? I appreciated the one shot in the museum where they showed the cut-off leg.
Mm-hmm. The Merrick Museum?
Yeah, I appreciated that. At Gettysburg, I learned about that guy. And then I saw the leg, and I'm like, holy shit, Molina, it's that dude's goddamn leg!
Well, I don't know. I mean, just the little thing. I just don't think that there's nothing structurally with the movie that I think is a problem, except the epilogue, I think, is a bit...
The epilogue is unnecessary.
What was up with that kid in the theater?
That's his son.
I get that. What is going on?
What was up with his emotional reaction about his father dying? What a manipulation by Spielberg.
Yeah, he tried to get me there, but guess what? Not enough Spielberg.
Why didn't that kid kick back a beer and say, life is tough, don't be a pussy?
Tony Stark would have.
Tony Stark would have.
Tony Stark would have freed the slaves, too. He tried to free that guy in the cave.
Probably would have been more interesting, too.
Probably. He probably would have had a lot better one-liners.
Well, if Lincoln had a mech warrior suit, I mean, it might have been more interesting, too.
I'd probably watch that movie. Yes.
Abraham
Lincoln mech warrior. That's
Abraham Lincoln South Pacific.
Don't give away all our ideas. Come on.
Speaking of, I saw the trailer for Ender's Game. I'm probably going to see it. I don't care.
I'm listening to the audiobook right now.
Ender's Game was so good.
I've never read the book, so I'm listening to the audiobook right now.
Ender's Game made me so angry when I read it as a kid.
That's
the
idea.
So angry. It was the best. Oh, wait, adults are going to manipulate me and take advantage of me. And then when I read it as an adult, I was like, ah, shit, that doesn't change when you get to be an adult. That sucks.
The only problem I have with it is that Ender's supposed to be six. But you find out that he's basically genetically engineered, so... Okay.
Yeah, but Harrison Ford's gonna be able to be fine.
His personality, it's just not the personality of any 6-year-old I've ever known.
Have you read it before?
But Ender. Right, he's not like any other 6-year-old you'll ever know.
I'll refrain my commentary.
I have not read it. Yeah, so I'm still giving it a chance because it's like.
The book is very good. Oh, despite the fact that Orson Scott Card is crazy.
He is.
Ender's Game was written before he went off the rails.
I don't think so. He's always been a Mormon, so I don't think that's going to change his... Well, he's got a lot of very strong beliefs that are based in his Mormon religion.
Okay.
Basically that the government should be overthrown if same-sex marriage laws get passed.
I don't agree with that at all, but I don't think that's a crazy position for a person to have.
I don't think
really
so.
Believes theologically that it's wrong and that the state is a...
Actually, I agree with Deuce here. Like, if you honestly believe that as a theological, moral position, then I kind of feel like you have to take that political position.
It would be like...
No, I think both are crazy.
I think he's wrong.
That's
but
relative,
yeah.
I guess.
Well, I think he's wrong too, but I mean, that's not...
It's not going to stop me from enjoying a work of fiction they wrote, as long as that's not the central theme of the story. Because that's the central theme of the story, probably not going to be that interested in by the end. But so far, hasn't really come up.
That's not a central theme of the story.
Spoiler. Come on.
It's not... Gay marriage laws are not a central theme of that story. Spoiler.
Must be the second book.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of people calling to boycott that and Great Gatsby, which confuses me. Okay,
Why are we supposed to boycott Gatsby?
I don't know. But here's the thing. The Great Gatsby was a terrible book. The movie cannot be worse.
It was a terrible book when I read it in high school. I don't remember the plot.
It's awful.
Time picked it as the book of the century. Can you believe
that's
that?
Wrong.
In looking at it,
it's wrong.
It's a horrible book.
in looking at what the plot is, I'm actually kind of interested in seeing the movie. Because it sounds interesting.
It sounds like, oh, you're like, yeah, 1920s parties.
I have no interest in seeing that movie. No, not the parties. It's just the fact that this guy comes back and reinvents himself and then throws the parties in the hopes that this chick will come over to his house. He's that desperate that that's how he's doing it. He just can't bring himself to walk across the street and talk to her.
I saw that movie. It's called Clerks 2. It was pretty good.
I saw that movie. It's called 8 Days a Week.
True.
I'm not going to see it.
I'm not going to see it either.
It's got Tobey Maguire in it. Come on.
He looks like a dork, which is always good.
He plays a good dork.
I want to see Ender's Game. I'll see it. I know I will. I enjoyed the book. I got to see it. I'm not going to like it, probably. But...
What do you like?
Oh, really? That is the question. I don't like Lincoln. The leg, Tommy Lee Jones wig, James Spader.
Fake body parts all over the place. Good movie.
James Spader running from Congress to the White House and back was maybe the highlight of the movie for me. Because he was so fat and out of shape. And he got like halfway across the lawn. Like you just see the feet.
I think that's probably part that I slept through. Because I fell asleep.
Yeah, he said he fell asleep.
I didn't fall asleep. But you know what I did do? I did practice my guitar like the entire time.
I fell asleep and I woke up like 45 minutes later. Did you
play Mine Eyes Have Seen the
Glory? I didn't.
Okay. I woke up like 45 minutes
practiced
later.
The opening to Mary Jane's Last Dance.
Didn't feel like I missed anything. Didn't feel like I missed one thing.
You didn't. I don't know what you fell asleep during, but you didn't. Spoiler. The 13th Amendment passed.
Shit.
I mean...
Melina's like, I just got home and like 45 minutes of this movie so far has been voting. Yes. The other hour and 45 minutes was getting votes before the vote.
Yeah, this movie was better when it was the American president. Because it was all about getting votes, too.
The one with Michael Douglas?
Yeah.
That one was okay.
You know what's weird? Joseph Gordon-Levitt does not need to be in this movie at all. There's a lot of characters in this movie that don't need to be here at all.
That's why it was called Lincoln and not the 13th Amendment.
He shows up for just like a little bit and then...
It disappears.
It was called Lincoln because everything is about how Lincoln is a character study in how Lincoln reacted to different situations at that time. It's basically what it is.
Like making out with Grant?
Yeah. I mean,
why was Grant played by Moriarty?
I don't know.
He was available.
Seems like you could find any other American to play Grant.
In the show notes was that Liam Neeson was originally supposed to do the Lincoln, but he... Depending on whose story you believe, he opted out because of his wife's death a year prior to that, or as he says, he felt he was too old to play Lincoln.
It would have been weird with him.
Either way, although
he was tall enough to play Lincoln.
Yeah, but his accent is horrible.
I don't know.
Lincoln's slipping back into the Irish accent.
You think he'd slip back? I don't know.
He slips back into every...
He's not that great at accents.
Hugh Laurie to do it, huh? Angry blue eyes.
Fortunately, though, Daniel Day-Lewis was available.
Yeah. You can't get much better than him. Well, if De Niro played Lincoln, I'd go see it.
I'd see it, too. Well, I did see it anyway.
I would have stayed awake for that.
Yo, you know, guys, I'm cloaked in immense power, and you are going to get me those votes. Look at me.
Punched slavery away.
You're going to get me those votes. It'd be awesome.
Yeah, I'd watch the shit out of that. I might watch that almost as much as I've watched Transformers Revenge of the Fallen or John Carter.
See, now when you say those are the movies that you enjoy, I just think to myself...
Oh, no. First off, I don't enjoy Transformers Revenge of the Fallen, all right? I have a need, a compulsion...
To watch it over
when it's on, I watch it to completion.
Nice.
John Carter... I honestly enjoy watching.
I've never seen that one.
John Carter's a pretty good movie.
I've watched it many times.
It would have been a good summer movie if it had been promoted correctly. As it was, they fell flat on their face.
There was also a big portion of that movie that was boring.
There was a lot of boring, but I don't care because it was pretty.
The action was great.
Also, the kid from World's Greatest Dad is in the movie, and at one point, you know that picture in World's Greatest Dad? It's all over the place. He makes the pose. And every time I see it, I lose my shit. God damn, that movie was funny. Boy face. That's what we call it. We call it boy face.
Any other final thoughts on Lincoln here?
Thought it was awesome.
Before he passes.
Can't wait to see the sequel. Johnson.
great.
It's going to be great.
During 3.5 months of filming, Spielberg addressed his actors in character. God.
Spielberg addressed his actors?
Yeah.
That just sounds like a dick
in character
movie.
Of what?
In hey, Spielberg? Asshole. Get back to reality.
He referred to Daniel Day-Lewis as Mr. President, Sally Field as Mrs. Lincoln, or Molly.
Mm.
Ugh. That sounds like a labor.
So he was not in character. He was keeping the actors in character.
And he was in character, too. He wore a suit every day on set. I think I wanted to get into the role more than anything else of being part of that experience because we were recreating a piece of history.
No.
And so I didn't want to look like the schlubby baseball cap wearing 21st century guy. I wanted to be like the cast.
Wrong.
Mm-mm.
Did you see Gail on there? Gail Boetticher?
Isn't the director
Breaking Bad? Ashley?
I didn't notice.
Yeah. That one sound.
If I remember, the director's supposed to maintain a certain amount of distance between his production, his creative vision,
well,
and his acting.
Well, to be fair, Daryl, Steven Spielberg had a Best Nominated Picture last year, and you did not.
I know.
To be fair.
Now, I can understand Daniel Day-Lewis wanting to stay in character during
like
the filming.
But he won, right?
Yes, he won Best Actor, and he lovingly deserved it. I think Sally Field should have got gotten
over what's her face? Jennifer Lawrence? That's not it. Yeah, it is. Jennifer Lawrence.
Just because her character and her costume and everything else was a lot more difficult.
Sally Field.
Yes, like, Sally Field.
First off, there's nothing
this was
difficult
best actress,
about
though, not supporting, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she had a full enough role, Sally Field, for the Best Actress nomination.
Absolutely. Not even close. Not even
was
close.
That what she was nominated for?
Yes.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I would agree that I think it's probably harder
maybe because
to play,
she was the actress
she didn't have
in the
as
movie?
Much stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Jennifer Lawrence did a really good job.
Hold on, who was nominated?
That child actress was nominated for Best Actress, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
The one from
we haven't seen that movie
yet.
Yeah,
we haven't talked about that yet.
So
we're getting
judgment.
There. We're getting there.
Yeah, I know.
That one. I'm
by the way, I'm
boycotting
Zero Dark Thirty.
Yeah. I don't,
oh yeah.
I think what's we. I think we've already taken that off the list.
What, Zero Dark Thirty? Yeah. Oh, we have to see that. Come on, are you kidding me?
I want
to
see.
I don't want to see that. Jessica Chastain from Zero Dark Thirty. Jennifer Lawrence. Emmanuel Riva. Kevin Zahane Wallace.
Is that the one from Beasts of Southern Wild?
What do you think, Tony? And no, Naomi Watts. Yeah, Jennifer Lawrence probably would.
So we're going to do all the Best Picture nominees except for Zero Dark Thirty?
I think Les Mis was also
voted
down. Oh, yeah,
Les Mis.
That's not even
by the way, Sally Field was Best Actress in a Supporting Role.
Okay.
Wasn't even Best Actress.
Okay.
But she lost to Anne Hathaway.
Oh, and Les Mis?
Yeah. You know what? I want to go on a limb.
Anne Hathaway won that award for shaving her head, for cutting her hair off.
Listen, that's very bold, Tony.
It's a statement.
Not everybody has the courage you do.
That's true. That's true. I don't see you shaving your head.
You've seen me shave my head several times.
Shaved bald?
Yeah. Oh. Bicked all the
I
way
never
down.
I saw you bald.
Well, it's happened several times.
Well, I've never seen it.
I took pictures of it at Joseph. I know you've seen it. I think I was even doing BSP when I did it.
I don't remember that.
I got pictures.
I'll have to see them.
You guys are real interested in seeing me shaved.
Mm.
It makes me think like, I could have a lucrative career online.
Yes, you probably could.
The shaved man.
Tony, what's going on with your guitar?
It's right there.
I know, that's not what I'm asking.
I'm learning how to play it.
Have you
Tony,
named it yet?
when is Canceled Threesome going to happen?
I don't know. When are you canceling it?
When is the Canceled Threesome?
I don't know. When's Luke going to learn to play his drums?
Listen, I'm not waiting.
Guys, I have a free advice thing you can take or leave.
Start a band, quit your jobs, and pump all of your money into it.
That was what I was going to say.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah. I was also going to add live in a Volkswagen van because that.
And put all your life savings
down
in
by the river.
Yeah.
That sounds like a great idea.
But
you want to be our manager and you want us just give you all the money to handle.
Well, I was thinking only, 70%, but yeah, that would be okay.
Yeah, you might as well just make it an even 100.
Round up.
All I was going to say is whoever decides not to take their instrument seriously enough can now be replaced by the miracle of the synth modeler and drum machine, and that can go any way you want it to go.
That's true.
I mean,
Dream.
That's the modern world.
I also kind of feel like there's software that will play
the sequencer
any instrument.
Yeah.
But then you can't mimic that live. Whereas if you have the apparatus, well, I guess you just bring a computer in, but that doesn't feed the aesthetic.
No.
You know. Listen, through the aesthetic you're trying to create.
I've given presentations.
The 21st century. I mean, robot musicians are pretty common.
I've given presentations and training to tons of people. They love it when you pause the presentation and fuck around on the computer. Like, I don't know why this isn't working.
They love that.
Like, the energy.
They're trained for it now.
Builds the tension, the excitement, then, you know, like, the edge of the
seat. They're able to take bathroom breaks.
Yeah. When is this document going to get in the SharePoint? Like, people need to know.
In fact, well, if that's the kind of energy you want to bring to your band, I say go for it.
That's right. White collar, boring training presentation. That's the motif we want for our shows.
We'll be expecting it.
Show up, learn something, if technology cooperates. That's going to be the tagline.
We could be the PowerPoints.
The PowerPoints.
The webinar.
The webinar.
New band name.
Yeah. The mandatory employee training.
Meet me.
Mandatory
webinar. Go to meeting.
Mandatory webinar.
Wow. Just the sound of it makes me not want to show up for the gig, man.
Your sexual harassment training.
Can you imagine how many corporate gigs we get?
Yeah.
Sexual harassment
Seriously, how many corporate gigs we get? Mandatory webinar.
Boom!
What are you listening to? Mandatory webinar.
Sexual harassment. It's a track called Sexual Harassment Training.
Well, that's our first album.
Yep. Yeah, Red Light.
There we go. I'm throwing all these million-dollar ideas. You're not writing them down.
I have a client.
I'm recording them. It's fine.
Okay. Frequent sexual harassment training seminars, and I teach them about red light and green light.
Red light, green light.
When you are in an uncomfortable situation, you can say red light, and then people are supposed to stop being uncomfortable. I don't know.
When you say green light, just make it dirty.
Yeah, continue. Step up your harassment.
She said green light, so I grabbed her boob. Seemed prudent.
I have a client that...
Well, I guess if the light was green,
you were green lighted.
Right, yeah.
When he and one of the other sales guys start talking, I need to leave the room because I don't want to be implicated in any sort of lawsuit. Like, there's a lot of people around. These comments are not okay. I don't want to be associated with this. I will make these comments on my own time, all right?
I have a podcast.
Yeah, I do this, like, semi-professionally without getting paid, all right? So, I'm kind of
already...
Can't
waste all my good material.
Yeah, I'm kind of already expert on dick jokes and harassing people sexually and generally being a horrible person. I don't need to do it professionally and get paid for it.
If there's any excess, that gets burned off at game night.
Yeah.
For the really bad
stuff. Yeah, trigger
warning. Yeah.
Thanks, Obama.
All right.
Anything else?
No.
Well, Tony, if you're not going to tell me about your guitar, that's fine.
What do you want to know about?
I don't know.
It has strings.
It's got less strings than mine.
It does, but they're thicker.
Yes.
And longer.
And harder.
Are they really longer?
Yeah, the neck's longer.
Oh, is it?
Sure. Got a longer neck.
Thanks for
not
a better
the neck,
grip.
Tony. It's how often you use it.
More stamina.
Yep.
It's true. I got anything else?
Yep.
I'm going to go home and pleasure myself to Lincoln passing the 13th Amendment.
Your word's not mine.
Vote. I vote aye!
Shoot me dead.
God, that voting scene could not have gone on any longer. Do we have to see all 200 votes?
Apparently.
That was a lot of votes.
There are more congressmen now.
I know.
Yep. Got more states.
But here's the thing. I don't think we're going to vote.
Roll call.
Amendment 13 again. Like, we're not going to vote to abolish slavery again.
Yeah. When it comes back, it's for good.
Been there, done that.
Yeah.
It's been there, done that.
I don't know if it would pass anymore.
Well, I'm going to know.
It depends on how many other things are snuck on there.
I mean,
no kidding.
I don't know.
I mean, we've got to enfranchise the steel collar workforce now.
I've already given too many rights to the robots I've got around
me. What the hell is a steel collar? Is this a sex thing?
Android phones and. I don't know.
Well, I mean, robots have rights too. I mean, they got feelings.
Well,
yeah, but they got.
I remember a gentleman civil rights activist in the 80s called Johnny Five.
Mm-hmm.
Don't oh, yeah, Mr. Johnny Five.
Yes, I remember.
He brought things a long way.
He was alive.
Mm-hmm.
No disassemble.
He was on fire. Here's
the thing. He ran on the no disassemble platform.
Here's the thing. Right. I'm all for equal rights, but until we get some sex robots.
But, you know, there was that problem with Killbot 3.0, who had his entire Destroy All Humanity platform. He almost won.
It's a fact.
Yeah, the Terminators, that's probably a bad scene.
I don't know, it's tough.
Although Christiana Loken was a good Terminator. Not because that was a good movie, but because she was hot.
Yeah.
All right.
All righty. We'll see you next week.